Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work you did in their days, in the times of old. Emphasis is always on God's working, that God does things. And it's never human works, and even though it might appear to be in human strength, always it is God at work. How you drove out the nations with your hand and you planted them. How you afflicted the people and cast them out. This is when they first took the land of the Canaanites, particularly under Joshua. For they didn't get the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm, the light of your presence, because you had grace unto them. So they did not take the land by their sword or by their strength. And yet Jacob, when he dies, he blesses Joseph, and he says, you can have Shechem, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and with my bow. They were pretty well Jacob's last words, and here God says, no, they did not take the land by their sword, by their strength, but I gave it to them by grace. So you could say that Jacob, right at the end of his life, he died not properly understanding grace and still trusting in his own works, but he will still be saved. So we will never be perfect in this life, as Paul says in Romans chapter 7, that we unfortunately, although we shouldn't sin, we unfortunately will keep on sinning. That is unfortunate, but it's how it is in reality, even though we shouldn't, and every sin is without excuse. So it's a bit of comfort there that we are going to be saved by God's grace, that by grace we will be saved. The kingdom is a gift, and it's not by our strength, and yet Jacob thought that it kind of was by his strength, by his sword and his bow that he'd taken Shechem. And this is unfortunate that he died with that weakness, but a lot of people die with weakness and they never quite get there. And yet that doesn't mean they won't be saved. And that is in fact true for all of us. You are my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Well, we've just spoken about Jacob, how he didn't quite get it, that he was delivered and given the land, not by his strength. And so David says, or the person who's writing the psalm says, give deliverance to Jacob. Through you will we push down our enemies. Through your name we will tread them under who rise up against us. But I will not trust in my bow, neither will my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put them to shame that hated us. So then David, or the person writing the psalm, is learning the lesson from Jacob. But okay, he didn't quite get it, that he thought that it was his strength, his sword and his bow that gave him the land, but here, no, I will not trust in my bow, neither will my sword save me. So don't trust in human strength. Don't think that because you've got a certain amount of money, or because you've got a certain ability in a certain area, that you're talented in a certain way, that therefore you can do things and be assured of success, because that is not how it is. As Ecclesiastes says, the race is not to the fastest runner, and the battle is not to the strong, because it's all a case of God's hand and not our own. In God we boast all the day long and praise your name forever. But you've cast off and put us to shame. You don't go forth with our armies. You make us to turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us spoil us. You've given us like sheep appointed for the slaughter and have scattered us among the nations. Well, this is all what would happen, according to Leviticus, if they disobeyed the covenant. So, yeah, they shouldn't be so shocked that it was happening. You sell your people for nothing and have not increased your wealth by the price you got for them. You make us a reproach to our neighbours, a scorn and a laughing stock to those who are round about us. Well, I think this psalm applies to the exiles in Babylon, where it says they sat by the rivers of Babylon, and there we sat down, Psalm 136, and we wept when we remembered Zion, and those who carried us away captive asked us to sing us one of the temple songs. And how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So they were laughed at. You make us a byword, a proverb among the nations. People shake their heads at us. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face covers me. For the voice of him who reproaches and blasphemes by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten you, neither have we dealt falsely in your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, neither have our steps declined from your way. Wait a minute, he says, oh, poor us. We ran away from our enemies, we were defeated, we were taken into exile, we became a byword. Well, that's all that was said was going to happen to them if they broke the covenant. But this psalmist says we didn't break the covenant. And it's not fair, we're being treated as if we broke it when we didn't. So, very often we're like that, we complain about what's happened to us because we don't want to accept we've sinned, and I think he doesn't want to accept we've sinned, and really all our sufferings, directly or often indirectly, are because of sin committed by either us or someone else. And we've got to accept that and be humble enough to accept that. Though you've broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knows the secrets of the heart? Yes, for your sake are we killed all day long. We are counted like sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, don't cast us off forever. Well, God doesn't sleep. It's not that God didn't pay attention to them or didn't notice them. It's rather like the disciples in the boat saying, wake up, Lord, we're perishing. Well, of course, Jesus is not God himself. But it's true that what is said about God can apply to Jesus because he was the Son of God and manifested God to men. But of course, Jesus was not unaware that they were in a storm on the lake. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? No, God didn't forget. Because God suffers in all our affliction. As Isaiah says, in all their affliction, in all their suffering, he was afflicted. In all their suffering, he suffered. We are bowed down to the dust, and we cleave to the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for the sake of your mercy. Well, yeah, God does suffer in the sufferings of his people. But the thing is, at the time with suffering, we think that nobody else knows. Nobody understands me. Nobody loves me. But God does love us, and God does suffer with us, although he does not necessarily state that and doesn't sort of wave to us from heaven or cuddle us from heaven sort of thing. But this is where faith means trust. We are to trust, we are to believe that the invisible God does in fact have these feelings, even though we can't see him visibly.